Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes. Welcome to the radio show today, everybody. On the telephone today, we have with us Lisa Ezard. Lisa is the Assistant Vineyard Manager and the manager of the Red Barn Cafe at Tiger Mountain Vineyards in Tiger, Georgia. Lisa, welcome to the radio show.
Thank you. What a pleasure to be speaking with you and sharing today.
Well, Lisa, most of the folks up here, I'm sure, have not heard about Tiger Vineyards. Let's talk about who you are and where you came from, and tell us all about Tiger Mountain Vineyards, how it got started.
Oh, I would love to. Tiger Mountain Vineyards, my father, who passed recently, is five generation. I'm sixth generation on Tiger Mountain Vineyards. My grandfather, Colonel Ezard, fought in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, and was quite the farmer. He had a little spot by the roadside, 441, where he sold his vegetables. And when my father was a little boy, it was a dairy farm. So I was raised in Colorado by two deep Southerners. And then my father and mother moved back to the South to save this family farm. And my father, who was a doctor, a urologist by trade, had this brilliant idea to grow grapes. And he wanted to grow something. He was always a farmer at heart, always an Appalachian boy at heart. And everyone said, "You're crazy." And he started it up. And lo and behold, 1995, he started planting. They planted every single thing by hand, put in every trellis. And in 1999, he was sitting on a pot of gold because they had a great big drought right before harvest. And won out of the gates an amazing award for their Cabernet Franc, 1999. And then it just took off from there. And my father was a brilliant grower. And we just started making really good wine. So I, having been in California for 20 years and France for two, came back to Georgia to learn how to grow and make wine from my father about 6 years ago.
Tell us about what kind of grapes you grow there.
We grow, I think it's six reds. We grow Tariga Nacional is our only Portuguese grape. That is the grape you make port wine out of. We are not currently making a port. We also grow Tanat, Southern French varietal from the Mandarin region, which grows really well for us. We grow Malbec. I think we're the only people in Georgia growing Malbec. That is our pride and joy. It's always winning awards. It's a beautiful Malbec, very French style. We grow Cabernet Franc, which always grows well in the Southeast. We grow Mourvèdre, which is typically a blending grape for us. But when we have a great year, we have bottled it. And it, as of right now, is my favorite wine we have, just that varietal. And then we grow Norton or Cynthiana. That's our staple food, which is indigenous to the Southeast. Some people don't know about that grape. But it's one we really, really rely on because it just is so savvy. It never is swayed by late frost or rains or anything like that. It's very, very indigenous. And then we have two whites. We have our Viognier and our Petit Manseng. And the Petit Manseng is our pride and joy. My father pioneered bringing that grape to Georgia. And it's becoming a Southern classic. Everybody's growing it. It's from the French Pyrenees region, just outside of Pau. And again, it just loves our climate, even when it's gray and cloudy, which we're always fighting with. It just, the sugars climb. In fact, in France, they only typically grow make sweet wines out of Petit Manseng because the sugars do climb so high. But we do make a dry sweet, and we have won big awards for that one, like double golds in San Francisco International, We got the Jefferson Cup, which is invite only for our Petit Mamsang. We make a dessert wine with that grape as well, called Sweet Petite.
Well, I know the Petit Mamsang is catching on up in this region too. Not so much Viognier here, but a lot up in Virginia. And of course, Norton is a classic. Not many people grow that here, but some other areas they do. And like you said, it's a real workhorse. And when you make it right, it is a fantastic grape, easy to grow because it's a native grape.
Well, yeah, it's also one that you don't need rootstock for. I mean, it's the only one you can just take trimmings from our vineyard and propagate.
Exactly.
So that's also kind of an exciting bonus.
Yeah, most people have no idea that don't own a vineyard how important it is you have a grape that you can propagate to refresh your vineyard now and then from its own
from its own source.
In our small vineyard here in Marshall, we have our vineyard 2,100 feet, and we have a native grape here called the Catua muscadine. It's the only cold hardy variety in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so nice to be able to just sort of cut off a cane and propagate the puppy in the greenhouse and not have to worry about the grafting and the rootstock.
Well, and you know, part of the beauty of the world is that indigenous, I know we're all trying so hard now to celebrate the indigenous and celebrate local. And one of the things is not fighting your climate and your terroir. I mean, we still have people come in all the time like, oh, can I have a Chardonnay? Or can I have a Cabernet Sauvignon? It's like, or a Pinot? We can't grow that in our area. You know, we're a rainforest, basically. So my father has done an amazing job figuring out what grows in our climate and what grows well and where.
Well, the biggest mistakes we have, I do a lot of consulting for new vineyards around this region, and one of the biggest mistakes that owners make is that they want to grow this grape because I love this wine.
Right.
And, you know, that's okay for about 10% of consideration.
Oh, my gosh.
But 90% should be what grows best here in our dirt.
And just the labor.
Yeah.
People have no idea. I mean, you're talking 4 years out of just incredible labor even to get your grapes. And, you know, my dad just had a wild hair. I forgot the writer. She's an best writer of wine in the world. She wrote a book called How to Taste. I can't remember her name. Anyway, she was going on about Aglianico, this Italian grape that's big and bold, and it's like, ooh, great blending grape. Dad's like, all right, you know what? I'm going to go for it. He planted 2 rows of Aglianico, and I'm telling you, it's just, you know, it's a waste. It's a waste of time and money. It's like, that grape's like, uh-uh. This is not my kind of place.
Yeah. You really need to listen to the grape.
Yeah. And, you know, Norton, what's fun, again, it's like introducing people to an indigenous grape. You know, people come into our tasting room and it's like, this Thomas Jefferson grew this grape. It's a Southeastern secret. And guess what? You can make a really fine dry red wine with it. And, you know, they are in Virginia, like you said, making some great Norton. And it's a different wine. It has a different flair. It's a completely different beast, and it's just fun to be introduced to that and not drink a Pinot Noir in Georgia.
Yeah, a Pinot Noir is a hard grape to grow. Oh my goodness, and it's an even harder wine to make. And I think in the United States we've got the Willamette Valley area up in Oregon that makes the best there is in this country consistently year in, year out.
Right.
But they've got the right climate, the right dirt. They got everything going there just right for
right.
that grape. And people want to grow it here, and every time they end up ripping it out. I said, don't do that here in the mountains.
I had the cutest young couple, starting a little vineyard, getting started. And they're like, well, we bought some Cabernet Sauvignon. And I was just like, what? How about Cabernet Franc?
Yep.
Why don't you just put that away and start with Cabernet Franc, okay?
Yep.
But, you know, what can you say? Sometimes people have to just go through it.
Yeah, you have to learn the hard way, I know.
And learn the hard way.
Yeah, if you go through a lot of the archives that I've, like I was telling you on the phone the other day, I've got this archive of all the radio interviews I've done for 3 years posted on my website. And time after time after time, you hear about people putting in grapes, ripping them out, putting in grapes, making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shouldn't have planted that, you know. And they just have to keep working at it, and most of them have learned the hard way. See, Listen to the grape.
And it's sad. Sometimes my father started right from the get-go with a grape called Tentacayo, which when we blended it with the Triga Nacional made the most unbelievable bouquet, like jasmine, lavender, I forgot what it was, incredible bouquet. And it was being raved about by, you know, some Yves, I forgot his name, and this great wine connoisseur in Atlanta and California. And, you know, that grape, that vine just didn't love it either. And so, you know, we had to let that one go, sadly, because it was creating a beautiful nose on our wine.
Yeah, you have to grow what grows.
Yep, that you do, and use what you have. That's the other thing with blending that's irritating sometimes. You know, we have a Raven Red that's a blend of five. And so you've got your Norton and your Cab are your mainstay because we grow a lot of that. And then we're adding Tanat, Malbec, a little bit of Mourvèdre. Well, you know, sometimes it's so frustrating. It's like, oh, I just need a little bit more
yep.
whatever that is that you don't have, you know. So.
Well, I have to admit, for many, many years, I used to go down to Australia and New Zealand during the harvest time there, you know, 6 months out of whack with our season, and work with the vineyards and the winemakers down there. And I used to think it was heresy to blend wines. I mean, I just had this mindset that it's got to be, you know, a classic varietal, one grape, one wine, you know, that sort of thing. And I got introduced to blending, actually in Australia, and how they did it, and participated in a number of blending trials and so forth. And I come to really appreciate it. They take two mediocre wines, and by blending them properly, come up with a fantastic wine. I thought, that's got to be the good thing.
Thank you. That was my biggest revelation when I was blending. I started blending, and I got a Women's International, a medal in the Women's International for my Tanat. But I was amazed. You know, you think when you first start out, you're like, I'm going to get my best barrels and I'm going to put them together and make the best wine. And it's like, oh, no, that's not how it works.
Nope.
Like sometimes you put your two best barrels together and it's like, oh, that does not taste good.
Exactly.
And then you, you bring in this weird kind of funky, got a lot of smoke on it. And all of a sudden it's making some magic. I mean, it's like an art project.
It is.
It's an incredible art project. I just loved that process and discovering how a wine that maybe wasn't one of your favorites on its own was blended and making magic with another. Yeah.
It's an art, for sure.
Incredible.
Lisa, how many acres of grapes do you have there?
We have 10 acres, maybe a tiny bit more, but then we also have a vineyard about not even a mile as the crow flies in the apple orchards, neighbors of ours. And we also have some neighbors up on Glassy Mountain, which is a couple miles away, growing some grapes for us.
Okay. What's the altitude of your place?
So we have three vineyards, and gosh, I always hate those numerical questions. I think we're at like 26,000 or something. I should know that. I can look really quick, but I think we're at around 26,000.
2,600.
I mean, 2,600.
Yeah. 26,000, everybody's going to be using oxygen tanks working in the
vineyard. I know you didn't know how high the Appalachians grew.
Our vineyard's at 2,100 feet, and we've had some interesting conversations over the years with a lot of people around the world. And anyway, there's an organization in Europe called Chervim, and it's set up just to handle membership for people who have vineyards that are steeper than 30 degrees, we qualify there, and whose altitude is higher than 1,600 feet, and we qualify there too. And they have this special label that you can put on wines that commands a premium for them in Europe, and it's called heroic viticulture.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. So
wow, I should look into that.
Yeah, it'd be sort of cool to have something like it over here. I mean, we could do that. We have a chapter here, actually, up in Boone, North Carolina. There's a fellow up there who runs the North American part. They only got four or five members of it, but it's not a big deal here. But over there in Europe, it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sorry I'm not a real numbers person, but I should know our altitude. But we do have a vineyard, and my grandfather told my father about the frost line. And we have three vineyards, and our Fire Vineyard is my favorite. That's where we're growing our Petit Manseng. And, you know, you could literally step over the frost line. And my father started growing the Petit Manseng above the frost line. And I'm telling you, it just absolutely loves it there. It grows better than any of our other grapes. It's just incredible.
Lisa, at this point, we're going to take a break. And we'll be right back, folks. Hang on. Don't go away.
Today's program is being brought to you by Peggy Patterson's Pig's Milk Cheese. Peggy warned me that some city folks listening to this program will laugh at the whole idea of pig's milk cheese. Peggy tells me that pigs produce less milk in comparison to cows. For example, pigs give about 13 pounds of milk a day compared to a cow that will produce about 65 pounds a day. Pigs also have a limited milk ejection time of about 16 seconds, so you have to be quick. Peggy says that it takes about four people with small cups to milk her pigs, and you only get about a half a cup each milking. Pigs have around 14 small teats compared to a cow's four. So in order to collect 10 quarts, which is needed for about 2 pounds of cheese, it takes at least 40 hours of milking. Peggy makes 1 pound cheese wheels, so she needs a lot of pig's milk. Peggy complains every now and then that her sows are very difficult to milk. Sometimes her sows kick the cups out of the milker's hands. Occasionally, one of her milkers gets bitten by an angry sow. Last year, Mary Lou lost her little finger when the sow she was milking got upset. But Peggy is not easily discouraged. She loves the cheese that she makes from pig's milk and is on a quest to get everyone else to like it too. But honestly, folks, after tasting it, I think pig's milk is gamey. And the cheese made from the pig's milk is an intense version of that gaminess. But, on the other hand, I do have neighbors here in the mountains who absolutely love the gaminess flavor. Peggy says, although pig's milk is high in fat, around 8.5% compared to cow's milk at 3.9%, it is an excellent source of healthy nutrients and makes wonderful cheese. Just so you know, pig's milk cheese sells for a wee bit over $1,000 a pound. Most of her pig's milk cheese is sold to high-end restaurants in the big cities. But Peggy wants to give everyone around here a chance to try it. For a limited time, she's making a small, thimble-sized cup of her pig's milk cheese available for sale in most local organic grocery stores around Madison County. Peggy Patterson's Pig Milk Cheese is another fine product made in the good old U.S. of A. here in Madison County. You can buy a thimbleful of Peggy Patterson's Pig Milk Cheese for $1.298 at Zuma's Cafe in downtown Marshall, and some other places. And now back to our regular program.
Welcome back, everybody. Just before the break, we've been talking with Lisa Ezard, who's the Assistant Vineyard Manager and Manager of the Red Barn Cafe at Tiger Mountain Vineyards in Tiger, Georgia. Lisa, just before the break, we mentioned in our conversation something about a blend. Tell us about that wine.
Well, we actually have two blends. One of them is called the Raven Red, and the Raven comes from Raven County, which is where we're located. And that is a blend of five grapes. And you've got kind of your main skeletal framework in the wine, which is our Norton and our Cabernet Franc. And then we have a little bit of Malbec, a little bit of Tannat, and a little bit of Mourvèdre. And that is a very popular wine because it really embodies the flavor of our terroir, which is often very, very kind of tart fruit, blackberry, raspberry, fruit forward. So that's a really popular wine. It also is a great price point. So people come for their Raven Red. And then, and it's funny, we have a couple of wine club members from Healdsburg, a young couple who come out and they're always like, we want our Tiger Tart. It's got a little bit of tartness that you quite often don't find in California. So that one's fun. And then we have a blend, a white blend that's actually, we haven't been doing for that long. I would say the last maybe 4 years. And that is called our White Tiger. And that is a blend of Viognier and Petit Manseng. So that's a white blend.
Sounds like that would be delicious.
It's so good. It sells out the door. That along with our rosé, which I forgot to mention, our rosé sells out the door. We can't keep it. We sell out of it every year within a month. It's very French Provence style. It's a dry rosé. But those are really popular in the summer months, the White Tiger and the rosé.
Sure. Sounds great. Well, Lisa, tell us about special events and venues that you have there at Tiger Mountain.
Well, going to the wine club, we have about 2,000 wine club members. And we have, I would say, a good fourth of them or more, a third of them are from Florida. Because we, when it gets super hot in the summer, there's just this beeline up into the Appalachians, right through Tiger and Clayton, and a lot of our wine club members are from Florida, which is fun.
we have a lot of that here too, because we're just off of the interstate going north and south, and we call them halfbacks. You know, they go all the way down to Florida and they come back halfway to stay here.
Well, it's amazing who you pull in the mountains. But we have two really fun events every year for our wine club members only. One of them is called The Awakening of the Vines. And my mother got this idea from Eastern Europe, where every year in May, at the beginning of the bud break in the season, the beginning, early May, you get all the old trimmings from the previous year. You make a big bonfire, and you celebrate and parade to awaken the vines. And so we have the Abominable Seed and Feed Band from Atlanta come out, and they dress crazy and cross dress and grapes and everything all over their heads and hats, and they all have been band players, musical musicians, either now or in a former life. And they come out and parade through the vineyards with us. And it's just a great big festival. It's really fun. And then we also have a harvest party for our wine club members. And everyone loves that as well, because they get to come out and harvest with us. So we spend a morning harvesting together. And then we celebrate on the knoll. And that's also really fun.
What's the celebration on the knoll?
We have typically, we just have a great big tent, and we have either our chef from the season, and I can tell you about that. We have a Red Barn Cafe. It's an old classic Red Barn that we've renovated, and the doors all open out onto the vineyards and Tiger Mountain. It's just really charming. And our chefs typically do something fun for that you know, whether it's roasted sausages or a pig roast or what have you. And then we have great big tables of cheese and salad tables, and everyone drinks a lot of wine and eats a lot of good food.
That just sounds terrible.
Yeah, we do go through a lot of wine that day, but we make up for it because our wine club members are devoted, and we give them a nice big discount that day on cases of wine. So everyone goes out the door with their favorites, and we're all happy.
Sounds like a really good time. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how people contact you, you know, either by phone or email or website, or how do we find you?
So if you go to tigerwine.com, you can get straight to our website, and on that website you can read about our wines, you can see what events are happening. We have very regular events at the tasting room. Singers, if you ever see Monica Spears, she's like Nora Jones. She's incredible. It's like a private Nora Jones concert. And so we have lots of fun music. We have events, you know, with the holidays and with the season. So you can find out what those are. You can find out our Red Barn Cafe hours and so forth. And you can just read about us. And we are located at 2592 Old Highway 441. So as you're going to Clayton, if you're coming from North Carolina, we're only like not even 2 miles away from Clayton. On the, there's the 441, which is the main drag, and then there's the old 441, which runs parallel. So if you go right through town, through Clayton, and Tiger is just a little crossroads, if you get past the drive-in movie theater, you've just passed us. If you get to the corner stop at Tiger, you've just passed us. So that's where we're located. And our phone number is 706 781-782-4777. That's the number for our tasting room. And you can also come taste throughout the year. We're open throughout the year. Once high season starts, we're open every day. And as of after Christmas, we are open Friday, Saturday, Sunday for tastings or by appointment.
Okay. So tell us about anything else that you'd want people know. If we drive down to your place, what are we going to see? We're going to see a sign on the road. We're going to see a billboard. We're going to see a little tiny arrow. What are we going to see if we turn off to your place?
So you're going to see a sign, a wooden sign on the side of the road that says Tiger Mountain Vineyards. And then if we're open, you're going to see a little arrow pointing to the door at the tasting room, which a lot of people mistake for being closed, but we keep it closed because our wine is inside. So we have to keep it temperature managed. And you'll see just beyond that, what people miss sometimes is if you just go to the tasting room, you miss the vineyards, the Red Barn, and Tiger Mountain. So if you just venture beyond the tasting room about 100 yards, you'll see the Red Barn, and then you can go out on the knoll. You can picnic out there depending on the season. We have a pond just beyond that with blueberries. You can go pick your own. My grandfather started that. We have blueberries. It's honors system. Put money in box. So you can pick and just put your money in the box and have blueberries to go as well.
We do similar things over here in this part of the world, too. We have people who do this all the time. Here's the little box. Put your money in there. Go pick some. Just help yourself. You know, it's great. Real small town.
Yeah. Well, we've always loved the honor system. And then when my daughter was in elementary school, someone stole the box.
Oh.
And we all just, our hearts dropped. It's like, really? And so we made Papa, my dad, another box. And this time we nailed it to the barrel. Well, not too long ago, somebody fell in the barrel.
Oh, jeez.
But, you know, it's okay. We still do it. We got our barrel and our box out there, and we believe in the goodness of humanity.
Well, you know, most people, I'd say about 99% of people I run into in this world are nice, honorable people.
Oh, yeah.
And you're always
going to
have that 1% of...
Just the one every 10 years.
Terrible people.
We're okay if it's just one every 10 years and we can wish them farewell, right?
Yeah. You're good with that. Well, Lisa, it sounds like you folks have a very interesting place to visit down there. I'm very pleased to have had a chance to chat with you and to have you share your story of how you came about to being there and the fact that you're sixth generation and so forth. I also find it very interesting that you've got a very successful wine club there. A lot of people don't have that many members in a wine club by far, as you know. And sounds like you have some great events. And I think everybody's got the information they need for being able to find you. And I can't think of anything else to say other than thank you very much for being a wonderful host, guest. Take two. Thank you very much, Lisa, for being a great guest on my radio show today.
Thank you so much, Chuck.
And if I can find time, I'm going to see if I can sneak over your way and check it out personally.
Well, we would love to have you. Let me know when, and we will treat you to a wonderful tasting, maybe even some library wines.
Fantastic. Okay, folks, we've been talking on the phone today with Lisa Ezard, the assistant manager of the vineyard there and also the manager of the Red Barn Cafe at Tiger Mountain Vineyards in Tiger, Georgia. If you get a chance to drive down that way, check them out, folks. And we'll call that a wrap for today's program.
This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio from Madison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethyn signing off for today. Cheers!